Now, in our Greener Living segment today, I want to introduce you to a facility in the north of the country which is really trying to build the next generation of conservation champions, if I can put it that way. It's called the Lapalala Wilderness School, and it's actually been in operation for more than 30 years now. And I'm absolutely delighted to have with us in studio today their chairman, Dr. John Hanks. Welcome. Lovely to have you with us on Cape Talk.
Thank you, Pippa, very much for asking me.
Won't you just tell us a little bit about the history of how the school came into being?
Yes, it was set up over 30 years ago by Clive Walker, who I'm sure many listeners know as a writer, an artist, a lecturer, and the late Dale Parker. And since it started, it's actually incredible how it's grown. And we've processed over 90,000 children have been through the school since we set up. And today we have a very well-focused mission. It's to help young children and young adults discover the value of biodiversity in our natural world, but most importantly, to identify and nurture Africa's future conservation champions. Mm-hmm. Because the future of conservation in Africa doesn't lie with old people like me. It lies with the young people coming through. And I must tell you, I'm incredibly optimistic about the future of this country when I see the young people who pass through the school and go on to do higher degree programs as well. So they're going to be the leaders. They're people who we try to fill with passion and enthusiasm for the subject of the environment. Mm-hmm. And, of course, to get across the message that environmental conservation is not just elephants and rhinos. People say to me, John, what do you work in the environment? Mm-hmm. And they immediately say, what's happening with elephants, what's happening with rhinos? And I say to them, what do you think is a real priority for conservation in Africa? And they will say, probably elephant or rhinos. And I say, what about pollinators? And they haven't thought about pollinators. They haven't thought about the importance of conserving water catchments for our water cycles and so on. These are the issues that we get across at the school. And we do that, and it's amazing how it's grown since Dale Parker and Clive Walker started the school. We now teach at the primary, secondary, and tertiary school levels, which is quite something. Yeah. We're fully booked throughout the year. We've just started now with the first courses coming through, and we go right through until the first week of December. And we've got an amazing dedicated staff of teachers at the school who keep the program going. It's very, very encouraging to see what they're doing.
So how long does a child typically spend at Lapalala Wilderness School?
That's a good question. I think when you have primary schools coming in, they stay usually two nights, 3 days. Mm-hmm. Secondary schools come for longer, 5 days, 4 nights. Tertiary groups come for even longer. And it's encouraging to see how attitudes change when they come there. For example, secondary schools coming through from Johannesburg, they all come with cell phones. Mm-hmm. And the first thing we say, cell phones out, lock them up. And they say, what? No cell phones for a whole week? Yeah. And they suddenly learn there's other things in life they can do. They can start listening, and they can start feeling and touching and smelling and senses that they've lost nowadays because everyone is so hooked on the electronic media. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely starting to work. We have, for example, a youth development program, and we find the brightest of the young kids coming through. We say, right, we're going to give you a pair of binoculars and a bird book, and we're going to invite you back for a more intensive course at the end of the year. And the brightest of those children come back, and then we take them on a two-week trip down to the coast to see other game reserves and so on, and they're going to be the ones who are going to make a difference in the future. And part of getting that done, Pippa, is to make sure the children who come in can take a book home when they go home, and the brighter ones can take home a pair of binoculars. And this is where I would appeal to anyone listening to this program who's got any kind of environmental magazines they don't want, please give them to me because you can change a child's life. And please let me have any pairs of binoculars you might know sitting around, long as they work, no one is using them, give them to me. And you would be so excited when you see the face of a young child when he has an old copy of Roberts and he has a pair of binoculars. He goes out, wow, I can see birds. You can change him for life. Now, that could be one of our future ornithologists or tour guides. Mm. And when you look at those sort of people who do the youth development program and then the facilitation we do to get them plugged into higher degree programs, ones who've gone through and completed master's degrees, they're going to be our leaders of the future. Yeah. And I'm encouraged by their enthusiasm and passion for environmental issues. It's going to work.
It's so exciting to hear someone speak with such hope for the future in the face of so many of the opposite kind of stories, John. The one thing we haven't said, which we probably should, is the location of the school. I said Limpopo. It's the Lapalala Wilderness Reserve in the Waterberg, correct?
Yes, it is. It's in the Waterberg. It's Lapalala Reserve that was set up by the late Dale Parker over 35 years ago. And the school is situated just inside the reserve. We're now moving it to just outside the reserve. The Parker family have very, very generously provided a superb site near the main gate of Lapalala. Mm-hmm. And we're building a new school from scratch. And what an opportunity that is, Pippa, to make sure that this is a green school. It's an environmentally friendly school. So much you can do with such simple things like eco bricks, not using cement, lots of alternatives to cement, making sure that we are completely off grid, which we are at present, okay, that we recycle water, and that we teach the children the importance of energy conservation, water conservation, the importance of recycling. And how many schools nowadays are starting to do that, but a lot of schools are not. Mm. And the other point I must make is that when we have the primary schools, mainly from Limpopo, coming in, Limpopo is a province where there is a huge amount of poverty. Mm. And we had a school the other day, and it was a small school, but not a single parent of that school was employed. Now, sure, that's poverty. And we have to get those schools sponsored. So we have a way of raising funds. We appeal for funding for this work because they have to be fully subsidized. And it's important that when they come to the school, they get three good meals a day. They get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They get a dormitory accommodation, full tuition, and so on. But that has to be 100% subsidized, yeah, by the money that we raise.
You know, it's so important. I'm so glad to hear that sponsorship allows that to happen, because the challenge of any reserve area is to make sure that the people living on its fringes are on board with the project within. So I'm so glad to hear that the local community is being brought into the wilderness school and into the reserve itself to be part of that, and to develop that understanding of why it is important to support the work that's going on inside the fence.
Absolutely right. And we have a very strong outreach program as well, which I haven't mentioned. You may have heard of an initiative called Eco Schools. It's an international program that was set up in Europe many years ago. We have one of the best eco school nodes in South Africa, and we have a person who goes out to these schools every day, and he gets the schools to take on an environmental project that they have to run themselves and complete. It could be anything from water conservation to recycling. And some of the schools now, as part of a program like this, are growing their own vegetables. Now, mm-hmm, you know, so many of the school sites are traditionally very, very bare ground. And you think, how are they going to grow vegetables? And they say the same to us. And I said, well, dig a trench, fill it with compost, with leaves, anything else like that. And when you come from home every day, bring a bottle of grey water. There's no water at the schools.
Yeah.
So they bring their water, they pick it in. And I could show you photographs of schools that are now growing healthy vegetables. How easy it is to do if you get it right. That's what education is like this. It's getting a message across that environmental conservation is not just elephants and rhinos.
It's about preserving the ecosystem of which we are one part and a cog, and building that awareness of our place as a cog within the moving parts of the rest of it. Now, let's talk a little bit more about sponsorship and funding. Is it individuals? Is it corporates? Who keeps Lapalala afloat?
It's both. We have we look for corporate support. Obviously, we have some very, very generous corporate sponsors. And we look for individuals as well who can help us. And we say, look, if you'd like to make a donation to the school, you get your name in the annual report, you get recognition, and so on. And it's tough work now, you know, because there are so many NGOs chasing money. And the bureaucracy involved in getting access from corporate social investment funding is very time-consuming. I always say, if we can take an individual up to the school and they see the school in action, it blows their minds away. I mean, we have what we call creepy crawly classes, where children come in and the staff introduce them to frogs and then to scorpions. And then we have a huge, great tame python. And you should see the children's faces when this python comes in. They go, wow, they leap back. They can't believe that anyone can handle this, an animal like this. And it's always interesting, Pippa, that children are asked to come forward and handle the snake and help to hold it, but the teachers just close their eyes and won't look. The volunteers who always come first are the girls.
It doesn't surprise me at all. But it's fascinating. And, of course, when you have that experience of touching a snake for the first time, it doesn't feel anything like you expect it to.
No, of course it doesn't.
It's so important to have that sort of hands-on contact.
Yes. Yeah. And then you get them to understand that when they see a snake at home, don't do as so many people do, stone the thing to death. They have a huge role to play in the ecosystem. Get them to understand that. Get them to appreciate that frogs can be handled. You can pick up a scorpion and it goes like that, but it's not going to do any harm to you. So, I mean, a chameleon, and it's not going to do any harm to you. So these are the things that we need to get people to understand by dealing with wildlife and handling and putting their flippin' cell phones out of the way. Sorry, I hate to say that.
It bears repeating. It definitely does. Just for those who might have joined the conversation late, my guest with me in studio is Dr. John Hanks, who's the chairman of the Lapalala Wilderness School, a facility located in the Lapalala Wilderness Reserve in the Waterberg in Limpopo, which has over the last 30 years put close to 100,000 children and young adults through its education around biodiversity and conservation and building an appreciation of our role as one cog in an ecosystem and our important role as caretakers of that ecosystem. You mentioned earlier, I mean, the joy of seeing children progress through the programs and go on to pursue careers in this field. John, have any of them come back to teach at Lapalala as a matter of interest?
Oh, yes, some of them have. I think some of the people we had through initially as students, and they come back as interns, who come back to become teachers. And that's also very exciting to see. We have a wonderful staff there, dedicated of teachers, and it's not easy, you know, when you have schools coming through. It's not like a traditional school where you teach from 8 until 4 and then go home, because you have residents overnight and staff have got to be on duty. And you can imagine 60 children coming through with 20 boys and 40 girls or what have you. That requires a little bit of supervision at
just
night
a tad
time.
Yes, I would imagine. Okay.
So the staff are always on duty like that, and they have to look after the catering side. Most importantly, Pippa, I must stress this, is the safety aspect. It's very, very important. We are very, very strict on safety rules and regulations. We take the children down to swim in the Palala River, but don't forget, many of the community schools have never been near water in their lives, and they're given very careful instructions. Our teachers have been trained by Outward Bound South Africa in life-saving techniques, and we're very, very careful about everything to do with snake bites and dealing with dangerous animals and so on. So safety is of paramount importance.
So I'm guessing there might well be a few teachers listening. I hope there's some teachers listening. Maybe you finished your classes and are listening to the radio as you start marking the first homework assignments. Yeah. If they're hearing this, they're going, wow, it would be a wonderful opportunity to take children from our school to Lapalala. You're fully booked for this year already, which says a lot for the demand. But how does one reach out to Lapalala if a teacher or a principal or somebody else would like to find out more about bringing a group to the school or perhaps supporting you as a donor?
Yes, well, that's a very good point. It's if they just Google Lapalala Wilderness School, we have an excellent website. Mm-hmm. It's got all the details on there. There's a very good video of what we do. It lists the courses. It lists how you can make a donation. You can donate online, how you can contribute. If you want to book a course, though, said we're fully booked, I'm sure we could always squeeze one or two in more. And it's a long way for people to come up from Cape Town, but perhaps people are listening elsewhere. And we do have some of the big schools from Johannesburg that come through, Oprah Winfrey Academy, St. John's, schools like that. Even a school from Mozambique and now one from Botswana come to
Fantastic.
Us. But please, please do look at the website. And if you want to contact me, anyone has donations of books, magazines, Africa Geographic, National Geographic, and particular binoculars, we would absolutely love to have them.
Well, I have got John's details, so if you are sitting at home going, I've got old binoculars I'll gladly hand on, please just drop me an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za and I'll gladly connect you with John. Lovely to have you with us. It's inspiring and so hopeful to listen to you, John. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much again for asking me.